It was the 31st day of January in 1938. A day after we'd had a considerable sized blizzard that had blocked all the roads, the temperature had dipped down to about 15 below zero. And I was 3.5 years old, not into what the heck was going on. I thought my mother maybe gained a little weight. I didn't have this figured out. And lo and behold, my dad hitched the team to the sleigh and headed for the schoolhouse mile from our farm. And they had called Dr. Beck from Wautoma, who was going to meet him at the school because the road past the school had been plowed. He picked up Dr. Beck driving across the fields because you couldn't drive on the road. It was just a mess. And they arrived at the house. Sometime during the night, all of this happened. I came downstairs in the morning, and there, the stove was red hot. You could see the cherry red stove. And I came downstairs, and there were these two naked babies on the kitchen, on the dining room table. Where did they come from, and why are they here, was the question I asked. I did not get a decent answer. And so that these my twin brothers, there they were, Donald and Daryl. Donald was the older one, Daryl was the younger one. Donald was pretty frail, he was a skinny little guy. Well, as the months went along, the doctor was not too sure he was going to live. And my mother was concerned about the fact that none of us were baptized. But Reverend Vevel agreed to come out to the farm on a Wednesday evening in July. They were born in January. Donald was not doing well. And the preacher said, get some water from the water pail. And I'm looking at that, you know, what's special about the water pail water? Pours it in a little pan and adds a little warm water. And then he proceeds to baptize my brother Donald. He's in the name of the Father. What Father is he talking about, for heaven's sakes? And they said, but the Holy Ghost he brought. Geez, I don't know anything about ghosts. The only ghosts I know about are at Halloween time. I said, but what is going on here? Dribbling a little water on my brother and saying these mysterious things. And at four, I was skeptical of everything. I mean, what little kid isn't? And this stuff made no sense to me, whatever. And he said, well, what about this other one? That's Daryl. Well, do him too. And then he said, what about Jerry over there? Is he baptized? No. Well, we better do him too. Well, gee whiz. Now, I got the full treatment. They took me over there, just dumped water, almost dumped on my head. There wasn't a sprinkle. It was the full treatment. I'm still curious at this moment about this Father, Son, and Holy Ghost business. I mean, what is happening to me? And then the pastor said, you realize, of course, that this is holy water. It seemed like regular water to me, but now we were baptized and we were all set. And the preacher ended it all by saying, you are now children of God. I thought, well, good for us. I didn't realize that that was a big deal because I didn't feel any different than a little while ago, except now my head seemed a little cleaner. Our pump was powered by a windmill, and all of the water used in the house was provided by the windmill, and my two brothers and I, as one of our daily chores, was to carry water into the house. And the water pail sat by the sink, and that water pail was the source of all of the water for cooking, for washing, for toothbrushing, everything. And just one, well, I don't know how many pails of water we would carry in a day, but not many. It was really kind of interesting. But two times of the week, when we had a bath on Saturday night, we had to carry in more water, of course, to fill the wash tub. And that was, well, we put up with that because we knew we were going to go to town afterwards, and going to town once a week was a big deal. The other time when we carried way too much water, in our estimation, was on wash day, when we had to fill up the old washing machine and the wash tubs and all of that. And the third time, which was, we knew it was going to happen about every July, when Mabel and George Rankard would come out from Chicago in their old big old Dodge car, and they would stay with us for 2 weeks. Why, I have never figured out. We had no electricity, no indoor plumbing, nothing. And George was a very nice guy. He didn't do anything, sat under a tree most of the time, looking out over the pasture. I guess he just liked to watch the cows in the pasture. Mabel, however, figured she had to help with the cooking. And her idea of cooking was everything had to be scrubbed and there had to be water and everything. And she, as soon as she arrived, one of the first things she would say was, "Jerry, could you fetch me a pail of water?" Sure, carry in the water. And 10 minutes later, maybe 15, "Could you fetch me another? What happened to the first pail of water, for heaven's sakes? I wanted to ask, I never did." Carry in that next pail of water. And pretty soon Jerry came up missing. Jerry found other things to do when Mabel was around, and my two younger brothers, they were still around. "Donald, could you get a pail?" "Oh, yes, of course." And then Donald came up missing, and then it was Daryl's turn, and then he came up missing, and Mabel said, "Where are those boys? We need water." And so, "Herman, could you get a pail of water for me?" That's my dad. And Pa would not be too happy about that, because not only were we carrying a lot of water, we were using a lot of water, and he wanted the water for the cattle. He didn't want it in the house. To carry in a pail of water every 15, 20 minutes, half an hour was not only unbelievable, it was almost obscene. My dad would roll his eyes. "What is wrong with this woman?" She could not believe that my mother could get by with so little water, and she did not appreciate nor understand how precious water was to us and how every drop of it had to come from our well. And in those days, before we had electricity, every drop of water depended on the wind turning the windmill. So my dad was very, very careful about the water that he used. Back in the 30s, we had not only a Great Depression, but we had severe drought in several parts of the United States. The Dust Bowl just raised havoc. The wind would blow day after day, and the fine talcum-like dust from the soil would filter into the house. And it was very, very dry, obviously, with no rain. But as long as the wind blew, the windmill turned. And even though the cows had little to eat, the pastures were drying up, the hay crop was meager, we were getting by, just. And then one day, the wind quit blowing, and the windmill quit turning. And the most pitiful sound in the world is the sound of cattle that are thirsty. They would bellow all night long. I could hear them in my bedroom. And my dad would spend each afternoon looking to the western sky to see if there was any sign of a storm coming, any sign that the wind might start blowing again, but the wind did not blow. We were desperate. We've had 12, 14 cattle, a team of horses, and Pa was more concerned about the livestock than he was about his family, but we hadn't anything to drink either. And one of our neighbors, Alan Davis was his name, he lived a half a mile, maybe a mile to the north of us. Pa knew that he had a gasoline engine because he lived down in a hollow and the windmill wouldn't work there very well. And so we loaded up a bunch of milk cans, 10-gallon milk cans, put them on a wagon, team of horses, drove down to Alan's farm, filled these cans with water, brought them back, dumped them into the stock tank. And now we've got the cattle and the horses all running into each other, fighting to get a drink of water. It was a terrible time. And we saved enough, a pail of water for the house so we could have a drink of water. And my mother could do some cooking with water. And Pa was just troubled beyond belief that we had to depend on the neighbor. And it was about the next day, in the middle of the night, I heard the wind come up. And generally, we're not pleased when the wind is blowing because they were blowing dust all the time. But this time, I knew what was happening because the wind came up, and then you could hear this windmill. It squeaked and squawked, and then it began turning. And I knew the pump was working then, and I knew that Pa would be a lot happier, as was my mother, when I came downstairs in the morning. Everybody was smiling because the stock tank was full, and the windmill, of course, had been turning. But Pa was concerned that another day the wind would stop, and he looked in the farm newspapers for ads. And so he bought a monitor gasoline engine built specifically to replace a windmill. It looked just like a bunch of cast iron. Hooked this thing up, took a half a day to get it hooked up. Kaboom, the machine went. Then kaboom, whoosh, 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 kaboom, whoosh, whoosh, whoosh. And the pump had been going up and down, and the water began running. Kaboom, whoosh, whoosh, whoosh. Everything shook, and I thought things were going to fly apart, but now we had water, dependable water, and we used that monitor engine until we got electricity, which was a number of years later. The first people that moved into the area would make sure they were by a stream or a lake, because life depends on water. And farmers, if you're going to be a successful farmer, water was absolutely critical. Water was precious then. It's precious still today.